The most important decision President Donald John Trump will make is the appointment of the next and the ninth justice to the Supreme Court of the United States of America, affectionately known as SCOTUS. Do you agree with that? Boy, I sure do. The Supreme Court now consists of seven justices and Chief Justice John Roberts, while the seat of the former and the great Justice Antonin Scalia remains open. Four justices of our Supreme Court are liberal to the core, including Ginsburg, Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan. They vote in lockstep. Four are conservative, for the most part, including Roberts, Kennedy, Alito, and Thomas. Even as the four liberal justices vote in lockstep, they almost never disagree with each other, while the four conservative justices do essentially the same, but not always. Justice Kennedy, once the so-called swing vote on the court, can occasionally decide with a mentality somewhat liberal. But for the most part, the court is divided 4-4, and certain political decisions of late have reflected that judicial deadlock and stalemate. Such a stalemate essentially results in no decision at all, but rather an upholding of the appellate court decision-making as that court decided, or sending back the litigation to the appellate court to do it all over again. A non-decision by the United States Supreme Court essentially means that there can be 9 different decisions throughout the appellate court divisions. Isn't that something? Each division having its own law, so to speak, and consequently in many ways legal chaos in our country. No consistent law. Supreme Court judicial deadlock cannot happen ever again so long as there are 9 justices. Decisions by sheer numbers must be made. The Supreme Court at least will decide all future decisions with a vote 5-4, and those 5 justices with that decision will consequently provide the law for and tell all Americans how to live from that point forward. A little scary, but, you know, that's the way it is. Often I find it incomprehensible that we the people, some 330 million of us, are ultimately dependent upon the legal decision-making of 5 men or 5 women. Isn't that something? Nothing is perhaps more undemocratic than that. The power, the unbelievable power of this ninth justice, will in so many critical ways determine the law of the land. A brand new justice, new to the Supreme Court, with at least some uncertainty as to how he will decide, will affect all of America, and indirectly much of the world at large. What an awesome responsibility. And whether or not this man is essentially liberal or conservative will determine decision-making for years to come. That ninth justice of the Supreme Court will be Judge Neil Gorsuch. He's now a member of the United States Circuit Court of Appeals for the 10th Circuit, located in Denver, Colorado. And by all accounts, observations, and evaluations of the man and his decision-making, Gorsuch is conservative. As the ninth justice of the Supreme Court, Gorsuch may very well move the Supreme Court back to an essentially conservative majority, with essentially conservative SCOTUS decision-making to follow. One could say that in many critical and important ways and areas of American law, Gorsuch, this brand new Supreme Court justice and the ninth member of our illustrious court, soon to be confirmed, will decide the law of the land. One man. Unbelievable. For me, that's really hard to comprehend. The power our Constitution invests in one man. What do you think? Conservatives, of course, are delighted and relieved. Liberals and progressives are angry, disappointed, and determined to fight the nomination. But they will lose. Gorsuch will become the ninth justice of the United States Supreme Court, one way or another. Mitch McConnell, leader of the Senate, and his Republican Senate cohorts have promised to confirm the nomination of Gorsuch, whether by normal Senate parliamentary procedures or by invoking the nuclear option, which would constrain filibustering, negate the 60 Senate affirmation rule so required, and then require only a simple majority of senators to confirm Gorsuch. Sounds to me like he's in. And if so, expect the confirmation of Gorsuch perhaps by the end of April 2017. The United States of America will then have, once again, a conservative-leaning Supreme Court and a worthy successor to Justice Antonin Scalia. Scalia was a conservative, a real, true conservative. In fact, Scalia, his way of thinking, and his methodology of judicial interpretation impacted Supreme Court justices perhaps more than any other ever. Scalia had a very firm and convicted approach to the Constitution and the law. The Scalia principles of jurisprudence began with the principle of textualism. Textualism. Scalia believed that the law, whether statutes or the Constitution itself, must be interpreted and applied exactly according to its text. Judicial decision-making should never take into account policy, current thinking, even what the Congress may have thought or meant with the law, and certainly not what any justice of the Supreme Court would think. The law, said Scalia, should never be politicized. The actual text, the law, word by word, should be applied as is. We the people can only wonder whether or not Justice Gorsuch will be a textualist like Antonin Scalia. And Scalia believed, secondly, in the concept of originalism. Originalism. The law, he said, was to be interpreted at the time it was written and when it was enacted. The law should be applied as it was then, at the time, and not now, with perhaps some fundamentally different thinking and interpretation. The law can change, he said, and certainly can its interpretation, but we cannot apply that afterward thinking or policy to the matter at the time. The law is the law, as it was and as it is. Apply it and do not interpret it. We the people can only wonder whether Justice Gorsuch will be an originalist, understanding and implementing the law as it was at the time it was applicable. If not, the thinking of this new justice will be paramount to the actual law itself. Wow. Awesome responsibilities, Judge Gorsuch. Scalia firmly believed in the right of the people to legislate. The people, not governmental agencies like counties, states, and of course the federal government, but we the people are the only constitutionally authorized legislators. We make the laws, and we live by them, and certainly not the Supreme Court of the United States. SCOTUS, in effect, was only the final interpreter of the will of the people, and only when there was disagreement at the highest level. The Supreme Court was the enforcer of the law as it is, and not as they want it to be. This idea of popular government, legislation as it is, or legislation as the people would change it, was the ultimate and final law of the land, so said Scalia, and it was not subject to the Supreme Court interpretation. If, for example, we the people wanted new rights, or the expansion of existing rights, then the people, through their representatives, should change those rights, and no other governments, especially states, and especially at the federal level, should in any way restrict those rights, especially any granted by the First Amendment to the Constitution. This organically, politically driven approach to constitutional interpretation is exactly contrary to Scalia judicial principles, and Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch will be the deciding vote with regard to the interpretation and protection of existing constitutional rights, or, as the trend seems to be, aid one side of the court in the creation and implementation of new rights, oh, God forbid, such as the right to gay marriage. Scalia had all the confidence in the American people to make the laws. Hopefully, Gorsuch will believe the same. Justice Antonin Scalia believed firmly in the right and duty of the American people to the aggressive defense of constitutional rights, including and especially the First Amendment. If, said Scalia, the people do not so defend those rights, and aggressively so, those rights will be diminished in time and even potentially eliminated. Scalia, in his brilliant legal opinions and decision-making, believed in the principles of Ronald Reagan, who reminded us time and again that freedom once lost is lost forever. It should be, said Scalia, the duty of every American, the absolute requirement of every American, to do whatever is necessary to protect those freedoms. Now, we the people can only hope that Justice Gorsuch, Neil Gorsuch, believes the very same way and will encourage the American people to so act. And at his level, the Supreme Court level, protect and defend the literal and actual freedoms granted by the Constitution and the amendments, including and especially the right of freedom of speech. But time will tell. Justice Scalia firmly believed in the balance of power at all governmental levels, the balance of power. That is, the checks and balances built into the Constitution in order to protect against rogue and legislative action and rogue politicians. The Congress was the chief legislation maker, House and Senate. Congressional laws were the laws of the land, not to be interpreted by the Supreme Court, and to be fully protected and defended and implemented by the President. There was even check and balance between House and Senate, a certain division of powers where each body could act independently or as a check and balance to the other. The Congress had certain ultimate authority and power, even over the Supreme Court, for if any legislation was deemed unconstitutional by these nine persons, Congress could pass new laws and move the principles forward. More importantly, Congress and the Supreme Court were check and balance against a rogue president. A rogue president? Who, working with pen and phone, could issue executive orders and in many ways bypass Congress, and at least temporarily defy the Supreme Court. Scalia believed in the firm balance of federal powers, all three branches at work, protecting the Constitution and the rights granted by it, and the power and the sovereignty and the integrity of the states. You know, that is federalism, and most importantly, the rights of the citizens, we the people. One can only wonder whether Justice Gorsuch believes the same. We can only hope that this principle of balance of powers and of check and balance will be fully respected and in many ways restored after Obama, and that the decisions of the new Supreme Court, consistent with the old in the day of Scalia, will also be decided accordingly. Ah, what awesome powers, what unbelievable powers this one new justice will have on the United States Supreme Court. What a critical appointment. Do you think Justice Neil Gorsuch is the right man for the job? Gorsuch may be the closest possible Supreme Court nominee to Scalia as there is. He has shown thinking, character, and principles which are truly consistently conservative. He seems to have followed the five judicial principles of Scalia, but in his own way. He seems a man who is cut from conservative cloth and will honor and respect our Constitution, and interpret originally and literally in terms of its unconditional grant of rights to the American citizens, we the people. Oh, let us hope and pray so, my fellow Americans. Let us hope Gorsuch will be like Scalia. The Obama administration has run roughshod over the Constitution. Many scholars, politicians, and even right-thinking academics have been concerned by Obama executive orders and the acts, rules, and regulations of the agencies which he directs and commands. Obama has defied the Supreme Court and certainly the Congress and the House and the Senate time and again. Obama has negatively influenced the balance of powers and the check and balances inherent in the Constitution. Obama has created a presidency overreaching, overreacting, unconstitutional in so many respects, acting with an utter indifference and disregard for the United States Senate and the House of Representatives. But we can only hope that Gorsuch and a conservative-leaning Supreme Court will reestablish respect for the Constitution and the balance of powers and the proper position of the President and the duty of the Congress to act aggressively and consistently and to make certain the newly formed Supreme Court of the United States follows the principle of textualism, the text of the law as written, and originalism, the time when the law was created and not a modern interpretation, the right of the people to legislate, that's us, we the people, and the aggressive defense of constitutional rights and freedoms, and restore the check and balances and balances of power between the various branches of government, including and especially federalism and the rights of the states. Time will tell, but you can be sure that Gorsuch will be confirmed, So say the Republicans. That means not a different America legally, but the return of a Supreme Court consistent with the one on which Justice Antonin Scalia sat. We the conservatives can only hope and pray that that is so. Many think Gorsuch was the very best candidate Trump could nominate for the Supreme Court. What do you think?